Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Reflection in a window and didn't know my own face. Oh, brother, gonna leave me wasting away on the streets of Philadelphia.
7 minutes after the hour 12. As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. And Ebony K. Williams is actually out in Las Vegas today, ironically, and in the house substituting for Larry Menti, who you have heard here often in the past, substituting for a wide variety of hosts here, and has his own show Saturday nights from 11 to 1. And it's always topical, always on time, always current with the issues that are happening internationally, nationally, regionally, and locally. And Larry, that song was chosen by Justin B. Love, the invader from Alabama, one of the many hipsters and millennials who have taken over our city, in honor of your roots in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, yep. I'm a Philly guy through and through. I love Springsteen, too. Love him, just like you do.
Oh, no.
I'm a fan just like you.
I hate, I despise, I loathe Springsteen. Don't tell me that you walk in the shadow of Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, and having gone to so many Springsteen events and concerts.
I walk in the shadow of legions. Legions of Bruce Springsteen fans. More than you can count. You are in the minority on this. There's no question.
So I can expect to see you in the future, whether it's at The Rock, the Prudential Center in downtown Newark, or down below us in Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center, or wherever it is that Springsteen is touring in the area, that you will be side by side doing the jiggle wiggle with Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie.
I've traveled to see Springsteen. I've seen Christie at the concerts. Could you imagine being at a concert and having Chris Christie sit in front of you? That's like horrible. That's like having a big headed guy in front of you at the movies. That would be the worst thing possible. Him up there dancing, because you couldn't take your eyes off of him.
But Larry, isn't it Farmer Springsteen? Isn't the man from Freehold who talked about his blue-collar working-class roots being from the other side of the tracks now one of the 1%ers in Rumson, where it is so white that even the lawn jockeys are white? Hasn't he written off a portion of his land
so that he doesn't... 98%!
I'm trying to be generous here to him, Larry. But all of a sudden, he's declared himself to be a farmer. What does he have, a tomato patch?
Yeah. He has farms on his land. He's a farmer. He grows organic crops, and he gives them to the people. He's feeding the world.
So what's the tax break in declaring that your land is not a palazzo, a ponderosa, but a farm?
It's a stipend. He gets off 90%, 98%.
Oh, but 98% of the property taxes.
He is feeding the world. He's making the world a healthier place. You know, from where I come from, these are fighting words. And yes, if I didn't believe you'd kick my butt, I'd be over there in a second.
Now, I understand his drummer, also Max Weinberg, he has decided to become a farmer musician and write off his property taxes.
Good people. They're good people. They are growing crops for all of us.
And let me mention the other New Jersey character, Bon Jovi, who declared himself to be a beekeeper and was writing off his property taxes for years because he was raising bees on his property.
Okay, I'm not a Bon Jovi fan, so I can get in on this one.
Yes.
He had 7.1 acres, and over the years, he'd pay $100 in property taxes for the year. $100 in property taxes. You know how ticked off people in Jersey are when they hear that, considering they have the highest property taxes in the country?
Well, let me hear from all the Springsteen fans out there. The double standard here. Do as I say, not as I do, as Springsteen takes the farmer's route and writes off his property taxes, along with his drummer, Max Weinberg, along with his very dear Kumbada Cheech. Oh, God.
Completely Bon different. Springsteen's in the right, Bon Jovi's in the wrong.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, before I arrived here, Larry, I had a very important meeting with a surgeon who was prepared to take a scalpel to my stomach. As you know, I've struggled for now 2.5 years with colitis, ileitis. It's now exploded into full-grown Crohn's disease. So I can't put off an operation. I've tried all remedies, holistic, homeopathic, you name it. I've tried it. It just hasn't worked. So as I'm walking to the surgeon's office today to try to figure out, okay, it's going to be 2 weeks, you know, of recovery time. It's major surgery. When do we want to schedule this? What has to be done in advance? As I'm ready to walk into his office, a bird falls out of the sky and drops dead right in front of me. To those of you who can go on the Curtis and Ebony website, please do. You'll see the bird at my feet. I don't know what kind of bird it is. It's a very unusual looking bird. But I'm looking to see if there's an omen here, if there's something from the scribes, you know, of Greek mythology to suggest that this is going to be good for me.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be good.
Or this is the Italian evil eye, the Malukia. Or this is going to be real bad for me in terms of the surgery that I'm facing.
A bird dies in front of you, and you're looking for a possible good omen on that?
Well, it's an unusual-looking bird. It's not like a blackbird or a hummingbird or a pigeon, you know, a rat with feathers. This was a really beautiful bird. And again, if you can go to the Curtis and Ebony Facebook page and weigh in on that. But and also, give us a call and tell me, is this a good omen or a bad omen before I schedule surgery? 1-800-848-WABC. So I noticed you were researching vigorously the history of these kinds of situations.
I actually couldn't find anything on a bird dying in front of someone. So I could only find what a dead bird means.
Oh, okay.
And these are people that claim they have connections with the other world.
Yes.
And they're all over online. And they actually say, you know, I was going to kid with you and say, do you have your affairs in order? And you know,
do you have all your plans in order?
No.
But I'm not having an affair now. I can trust you. I'm not having an affair now. I do not have a gumada.
If you ever have affairs, make sure you have them in order.
All right.
Anyway, they're saying it's actually a good thing. Dead means passing. It means you're passing from one phase in your life to another. That's these people. That's the crazy people online that claim this. That you're that something's bad is leaving you and something good is coming. And because of the problem you have, passing is probably a good thing.
So if they put a sleeve in my stomach to make up for all the intestines that they're going to rip out, this can be a very good thing.
You'll be able to pass things easier.
Wow. I'll be able to pass gas. I'll be able to pass everything else instead
excrement.
Of having everything seize up right now, and it's Krakatoa east of Java, and I suffer, and then I have to pop hillbilly heroin, oxycodone. But that's a problem, too, because even though it gives you temporary pain relief, it gives you constipation. And if you have the constipation, that means you have continued pain. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I just simply want to know from our many listeners out there, is Larry correct? Is this a good sign when the bird dropped dead right in front of me earlier today before I walked into the surgeon's appointment? Or is this the Italian evil eye, the Malukia?
I'd be freaked out. I think most people would be freaked out if they saw that. And I guarantee you that there's people out there that swear they know exactly what that means.
Oh, there's no doubt. A lot of old wives' tales that surround this. 1-800-848-WABC. But let's go to Greg. He's first up in the queue from Middletown. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here today at WABC. Greg? Well, let's see if we can get Greg up here. Yes, Greg.
So I live in Middletown, and it's really tempting to get angry at these guys for the little farm, the farm subsidy thing or the farm But then I learned that the reality is that, let's say you have 10 acres. You can, like, say, okay, these 2 acres are improved. That's where the house is. So that's where the mansion is. So Bon Jovi and Springsteen, they all have that same setup. So that they have they designate a couple of acres as the improved area. So they still pay outrageous taxes on the improvements.
But they're not paying as much as they're supposed to pay, right? You would agree with that.
On the improvement, they pay as much as they have to pay, but on the place they've designated farmland, they get a huge break. So they do get a huge break.
Right, but see, here it is, Springsteen. He writes letters to the editor, to his local paper. We all need to pay more. We need to take care of the poor and the impoverished, particularly here in New Jersey. So if you're not paying your fair share of property taxes, then you're depriving people of badly needed social services. So he's a hypocrite.
You're right. So they are getting a huge break on a piece of it, but it's not as outrageous as it sounds.
This is a guy that attacked Trump for avoiding taxes.
Yep.
So there's definitely hypocrisy here, no matter what. I get your point. You're saying on the mansion he's paying his taxes is what you're claiming, and they did change the law in 2015. But he's got 10 acres, so he's not paying on everything else.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Louie calling from Valley Stream. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Louie.
Hey, Curtis, I got right on, man. Cool. Listen, I want to say one thing to you, Curtis. Well, two, but the first thing is, the bird is dead, Curtis. He's dead.
I know. There's nothing I could do to bring
right.
him back.
Yeah, I know. But if you want to call it an omen, good or bad, the wind-up is the bird is dead.
So, all right, but what does that mean?
He's not worried about the bird. He's worried about himself.
Right. So then it means that it doesn't matter at all if you've seen the bird. Why'd you put it on your Facebook? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter then. But if you think it matters...
Hey, come on. A bird drops out of the sky, dead right in front of you before you walk into a surgeon's office, and he goes, oh, man, this is going to be complicated right. surgery. You're going to be out of the box for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be out of the box forever.
Yeah, Louis, you know, it's easy to call in and act real macho about this, but let's just say, it doesn't mean anything. What if you were going to surgery? What if you were, 70 years old, what if you were going to surgery, and you're walking to surgery, and a bird falls out of the sky and dies in front of you?
I wouldn't do it. I tell you, they wanted me to get a defibrillator, and everyone's begging me, I found out I didn't get it. What happened? They had to recall the batteries in the defibrillator.
Mm. So are you suggesting, Louie, that I tell this surgeon, oofa, to you?
I got friends. I got people with Crohn's. She wears a bag, you know.
Oh, I need to wear the bag. I wore the bag for 2 freaking years after I got shot 5 times in 1992. I don't want to wear a bag again. I'll wear a bag over my head.
That's what a dead bird means, a bag. A bag is coming.
Let's go to Edie, who is calling from New York. Edie, is this a good omen or a bad omen that a bird died in front of me today before I walked into the surgeon's office?
It's actually good. It means that whatever you're dealing with is dead and behind you. So it's a good thing.
Now, so all my enemies, it's good. I have many enemies, so I don't have to worry about them anymore, right?
No one. Done.
The IRS, they constantly come.
No, that you have to worry about.
Okay, because they want to garnish my wage all the time. They always threaten me. We're going to garnish your wage.
Edie has one of those voices where you believe everything she says, doesn't she? Because she has such a great, soothing, authoritative voice. It's like, okay, that's right.
My former old ladies who are on my case constantly. Is the child support in today? Is it in today? You're going to get it tomorrow. What the hell does it matter, 24 hours?
Yeah, that's not going to die anytime soon.
These are the things that I need to die. Not suggesting my old ladies, but these bills. Yeah. And the lawyers. Yeah. Edie, the lawyers, they keep saying you owe $350,000. When are we going to get paid? And I tell them, when I get paid, you're going to get paid. Will that go away?
No, that's never going away either.
What exactly are you saying is good then, Edie?
The pain in the stomach, that's all that's going away.
And what about the pain I have in the neck and the back and my head from all these mishigosh things that happen?
You need a flock of birds. Yeah.
I get them. It's the pigeons, and they poop right on my red beret. You know, it's wool, so it's kind of hard to get that poop out.
That was good, though. You need a whole flock of birds to fly in front of you for all your problems.
1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
Ebony Kardashian Williams away today. She's in Vegas, ironically. She'll be back same time, same place on Monday. In the house, Larry Menti. He's hosted here many, many times before, and he has his own show Saturday nights. I advise you take a listen, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning. And what happened earlier today is I had a final meeting scheduled with a surgeon. Because I've been diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I've suffered with this now 2.5 years. I have to get surgery. And right before I walked into his office, a bird dropped dead right in front of me, right out of the sky. sort of a pretty bird, like yellow wings, a yellow tail.
I'm trying to find it right now. It is an unusual bird.
Yeah, if you go to Curtis and Ebony, the Facebook page, you can see it. Maybe like a yellow shafted flicker or something. I don't know. I'm not a bird watcher, but whoop-a-woo, whoop-a-woo. There are plenty of bird watchers out there. I know. I can see them out in the Meadowlands all the time. Whoop-a-woo, you know, with their binoculars on, their safari hats on. They're wearing their shorts, getting bitten by mosquitoes, but they're getting to see the birds. Give us a call, 1-800-848-WABC. What kind of omen is this? Good or bad? Let's go to Leslie, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Larry here on WABC. Les?
Hi. Yes, I have a little recommendation for Curtis. I heard about his problem with Crohn's disease. Have you ever heard of Jordan Rubin?
Jordan Rubin, it sounds like some kind of designer who just had his show here on Fashion Avenue, but no, I've never heard of Jordan Rubin. No.
I don't know how fashionable he is, but he's very wealthy. He has the founder of Garden of Life. He had Crohn's disease. He was a super healthy kid. He went to college, ate crap, got very sick. His father is a doctor. He took him to like many, many doctors around the world. He was down to 70 pounds.
Wow.
He got over Crohn's disease.
Well, I lost, in 2 years' time, I lost 60 pounds. I went from 210 down to about 150.
Man. So you're saying surgery shouldn't be the number one option?
Yeah. I'd say you should definitely specifically look up Jordan Rubin's protocol, doctors, whatever.
All right. No, I definitely will, although there was a suggestion before I sought out this surgeon that I have a lobotomy because a person said thoughts are things, and they said the way you think, you're so screwy, Sliwa, you probably brought this on to yourself.
That's not a bad idea. Get both ends done.
Yeah. I could use it. Anyway, let's probably go to Tom.
Get a discount on that.
Tom, who's calling from Poughkeepsie. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Tommy.
Hey, how you doing, Curtis? I might cancel a surgery if I was you. I have a thing that happened when I was a kid growing up in Pell.
And what is it that happened, Tommy?
My sister had a parakeet, and so did I. She was 6. I was 9. Parakeet died. 3 months later, she died.
Oh, Madonna, my.
What did she die of?
It was the measles back in 63, brain encephalitis in Jacoby.
Oof.
Yeah,
And you're convinced the bird was part of that?
I don't know, but I wouldn't do the thing with the surgery. I know people that have Crohn's disease and they went different therapies, and they've almost got cured and don't have any of the symptoms anymore. My good friend Ed, his daughter had it for years as a youngster, and they went all over the place, and they found a doctor, and she went on with a normal life, had children, got married, and she don't have no problems anymore.
All right, but let me get this straight. The parakeet died. 3 months later, your sister dies of encephalitis. God, that's
brain
a horrible way to go.
And at
Jacoby Hospital in the Bronx?
Yeah, July 3rd, 1963.
Well, not for nothing, but Jacoby Hospital in the Bronx, that's like Woodkill in Bushwick. You know, it's Woodhull, but they've renamed it Woodkill.
Yeah.
You do not want to go to Jacoby Hospital. You do not want to go to Woodkill, Coney Island, Kings County. I can give you a whole list that I've told people. If I'm shot, leave me in the street. Do triage on me. That don't bring me to Jacoby. Do not. Jacoby and Myers, maybe, if I'm getting another divorce, but
what's
not
the end
Jacoby.
Of this? What's the end of this? Are you going to get the surgery?
Yeah, I'm going to get the surgery. It's probably going to mean two weeks I'm going to be laid up. Although the way he was talking, like 2 months, I said, no, this is Curtis Sliwa. You know, you truncate that. Well, what, 2 months? I'm going to be laying around for 2 months. Are you crazy? I'll go box. I'll get titched. I'll probably jump out of wherever I am. You know how I am.
Yeah, you're playing her today.
2 weeks. I told the surgeon, I said, hey, you patch me up. You put the sleeve in there. You replace the intestines. I'll be back. I take a lick and I'll come back. When I had my prostate taken back, I was back on the air 72 hours later.
Yeah, that's you. That's your reputation. Bird or no bird, screw the bird.
Yeah,
get the surgery.
Screw the bird. Anyway, let's quickly go to John, who's calling from Staten Island. Is this a good omen or a bad omen, John, that a bird died in front of me today?
Well, my parents are from New York side, so I would say get a second opinion, like you say, Dr. Lederman. Get a second opinion with another guy, just to let you know.
Okay. You know? All right. Hey, soothsayers. Look, there's a gypsy right down the block there at 32nd and 8th Avenue. She reads palms, right? Yeah. I get lots of second opinions. But, Larry, you thinking it's copacetic?
Yeah, you're getting into wacky world now. Seriously. A bird fell in front of you. Any good thing that happens, is it because of the bird? Any bad things that happens, is it because of the bird? It has nothing to do with the bird.
Oh, we're going to get into the wacky world up next. The conspiracies that are coming out of Las Vegas based on the fact we still don't know a motive of why this kookalamunga, this crackpot, decided to rain death and destruction down on that crowd at the Country Western concert. But before we get into that with Larry Menti, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments. The new midday show.
Up on the law and a law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Ironically, Ebony Kardashian Williams is in Las Vegas today promoting a book, hosting a panel discussion, and no doubt they're talking about the carnage that took place earlier this week from that 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, in which this crazy guy just rained death and destruction on the Country Western crowd. In the house today for us, Larry Menti. And Larry, the conspiracy theories are now flying since we haven't yet quite figured out a motive for why this crackpot did what he did. ISIS has tripled down. They insist that he had converted, that he was doing this on a mission of jihad. You have others who insist that he had help in doing this. It would have been impossible for him to undertake this. There is this mysterious woman that he was in the company of just days before when he first checked in the room. Apparently, who is a person of interest. Nobody's been able to figure out who she is. The girlfriend returned from the Philippines. She's cooperating with authorities, although while she was there, he sent $100,000 in her name, telling her to buy a house, take care of your family. She thought it was the kiss-off. You know, right. He was giving her the kiss-off that the relationship was over. But I'd like to probe amongst all of our many listeners out there, if they thought he was just a solo guy doing this on his own, or if he did it in concert with others, or if, in fact, he might have been an agent of ISIS. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. What do you make of this guy?
I think all of this speculation is destructive. And one of the reasons is all of the theories that you're hearing, all these conspiracy theories you're hearing, all have an agenda. Every single one of them. There are people that want it to be ISIS, so that we will then go over and kick their butt. And we could revamp the military and send them over there, and we could start another war. That's really what we're talking about when we talk about ISIS. Then there's a lot of people who say, this guy went after a country and Western crowd because they were Trump people. And you see pictures all over the internet of him in like the pussy hat with the anti-Trump signs. All have been photoshopped. Everybody is out there trying to divide us even more, trying to get our passions up even more. Just wait. There's an investigation going on. We'll figure out something. All we know right now is this guy's crazy, and we have to deal with mental illness in this country. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact.
So we're not blaming the Russians for photoshopping those photos and posting them wherever they can.
Could have been.
To plant the seeds of insurrection in our country. And then there are people out there who are saying, oh, the FBI is purposely withholding information because they know he went rogue, that he, in fact, was an agent of the United States government who left the reservation, and they're trying to keep things hush, hush, mush, mush. And I'm wondering, where do these people come up with these theories?
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting for InfoWars. I'm waiting for Alex Jones to say it never really happened, that this was all concocted just because it was an anti-gun plot.
Well, I'm more than happy to field any of the theories that all of you out there have, because many of you have called in. I've listened to many other shows. Theories galore in terms of what the motivation of this maniac raining death and destruction down on that Country Western crowd in Las Vegas. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to John first from Rockland County. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. John?
Hey, guys. How are you?
I've had better days.
All right. Well, it'll get better. Anyway, the co-conspirator.
We're having a little difficulty with phones here. Hey,
well,
hey. Hold on a second, John. Do you have the disqualificator, Brian, aimed towards Rockland County? I notice it's aimed towards Westchester, you schmuck. Don't you realize? Okay, we're reconfigurating as we speak. John, do you hear me now?
Yeah, and I won't take that personally that you called me a schmuck.
No, not
was
you.
It you.
No, it was our board operator, Brian, the Mongolooch.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, yeah, there's hundreds of wealthy white male co-conspirators that are taking bribes. It's the politicians. They don't want to do anything. You know, nobody wants to.
How the hell do you come up with that? How do they have anything to do with this guy going to a hotel and shooting of hundreds of people?
I just think it's the laws. You know, I think there's changes that could be made. I talked to a couple of cops yesterday. There's no easy solution.
Yeah, tell me one law that would have stopped him from doing this. Give me one.
Well, not stopped him, but could reduce. You know, it's just what they agreed to yesterday, you know, throwing the bone. So that could have at least reduced deaths. You know,
What's acceptable to you? How many deaths would be acceptable to you?
Nothing. Nothing is acceptable, but I think it makes a problem. And again, these cops acknowledge it. They just said, what can you do in Times Square? What can you do at the local Christmas tree lighting? There's little or nothing.
That's the answer. There's the answer.
Too many illegal guns, and it's, you know, we're hundreds of millions of guns. So what do you do? So I don't know. You know, I'm being facetious about the problem, but maybe there's something that can be done by legislators, by politicians, to at least reduce the amount of killings.
We feel like there's something we can do. There's nothing we can do. People have been killing in numerous numbers since the beginning of time with all kinds of weapons.
Let's go to Gino in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here on WABC. Gino?
Hello. I think the crack security team at Motel 6 would have been able to come up with the security video from the lobby of the hotel at this point. That footage is key to providing information on who this guy spent his final days with. Okay, now, I think a guy that orders room service two meals at a time is probably not carrying 20 duffel bags up to his room over the course of 3 days. So my theory is that this guy might be part of a gun-running operation, or maybe even part of a scenario from law enforcement to be purchasing guns. He may have felt that the deal went wrong and he was about to get closed in on.
So,
and before,
are you conceiving that this may be something that was equivalent to Fast and Furious when we were running guns to Mexico?
I'm saying it's possible. It's possible, and maybe he sensed that the gig was up, and before he spends the rest of his life behind bars, he's taking people with him. Mm. You know, maybe he thought he was being framed by the government.
Or maybe he's just a nut job that bought a whole lot of guns. And
you think he carried them all upstairs by himself, though?
I do. Yes, I do. I do.
So let's get the video. It's a week later.
I'm sure they have the video. What makes you think they haven't got the surveillance video?
It'd be embarrassing if they didn't, but it's also embarrassing that they're hiding behind it at this point.
Hiding behind it? Why do you say they're hiding behind it?
It's a week later. Like I said, Motel 6 would have had this out.
They have it. They don't want to give out anything yet. They just wait. Just cool your heels for a second.
I want to upgrade that. Super 8 would have had that video by now. I don't know if Motel 6. I've stayed in both dives. No-tail motels. Super 8 would have had it.
You're right.
Not
Super
Motel
8,
6.
Super 8's known for its security.
Let's go to John in North Bergen. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Johnny?
Yeah, it's the Mandalay Bay. They got all the video they need already. I mean, that's the most ridiculous comment I heard. They know exactly who that guy walked in with. But he was probably with a hooker. That's who the girl is. But I agree.
So he went out with a bang.
You know, I absolutely. Go out with a bang and then even another bang. But, you know, I agree with you. He probably brought this, you know, this stuff up himself or had a bellman bring it up. I don't understand. Like, they're making it out that...
Well, think of it, John. You have so many conventioners. They're always schlepping their goods, for their convention table. The bags and bags. As long as you grease the bellboy, the captain, or the valet guy, they're going to bring it right to your room. Let's go to Sally, who's calling from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here on WABC. Sally?
Hi, Curtis. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of points. One of my theories
is that I think it's somebody on the inside in that hotel, because there's no way you could get all those weapons in. It's got to be either they, at 4 o'clock in the morning, they're getting him in through some back entrance.
Sally, I assume you're a forensic expert and you've carried up these guns yourself, so you know what that takes.
No, but I think definitely has help, but I think in order to get it into that room in a hotel, got to be somebody or some people in that hotel, okay, that are working with him. I'm just saying, this is my theory, that they're in the hotel. Mm.
If you tip those guys enough, they'll carry up anything for you. They'll carry out a dead body for you if you tip them enough.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But again, I think it's something there on the inside.
Yes, go ahead, Sally.
Can I talk about the mental illness thing? And I agree with you, but I have to tell you something about that whole practice. I know someone personally who is severely suffering from a mental illness. That person called 6 different psychiatrists. Not one accepted insurance. Not one.
No, it's a horrible problem. You're absolutely correct. And we have to get past that.
Well, he was prescribed Valium. But half of America is like on Valium, and they don't go up to the 32nd floor of a hotel and rain death and destruction out on crowds that are beneath them.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of people can get Valium, but he certainly was not treated for his mental illness. But a lot of people, just from what they know of him and the interview with the girlfriend, are saying this guy was a psychopath. But I guess anybody who goes up and knocks out a window and shoots hundreds of people is a psychopath.
Let's go to Steve in Point Pleasant. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Stevie?
Yes, there's a speculation that the man had converted to Islam 6 months ago. How come none of his social media stuff has been released? And as for carrying stuff up there to the room, that would probably be absolutely easy to carry all that stuff up to that room within a couple of days.
So
sure.
You think that when he was firing off his AR-15 that he had fixed up with his stock, his bump stock, that he was screaming Allah Akbar?
100%, absolutely.
Why? What makes you think that? Because you read something on the internet? Is that why?
It's not a possibility?
No, not right now. The only person who is saying this right now is ISIS. That's it. And they claim credit for everything. If I stub my toe, they did that. ISIS wants you to believe. You're playing right into their hands. They want you to believe they're
Larry,
involved in everything.
I'm blaming it all on the Russians, since we blamed everything else on the Russians. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go right to the phones, and it's Jerry who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Jer?
Hey, Curtis. I hope you're feeling better. I'm sorry that you're not feeling well. I know what you're going through. I have the same condition.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I don't have an opinion really either way. I'm just an observer of what I'm observing. From what I'm observing, from where I sit, I see there's all this dissension going on in this country since the election, and I do believe it's probably Russian involved. But the media and all these right-wing, I shouldn't say right-wing, because that puts me in that place on the left, which I really don't want to be. Or should I say all these left-wing medias running this game on the president is creating all this dissension that the Russians wanted to create.
Mm. Now, this guy was a Russian agent?
Could you imagine if this guy shot into that hip-hop festival, what would happen with the heat that's on right now in this country?
Well, I can tell you this. If he shot into a hip-hop festival, there'd probably be guns aimed back at him by the hip-hop degenerate monsters who would have been shooting their guns in the air like they just didn't care. You know, the country western guys, they were strapped, but nobody shot back. In a hip-hop concert, there'd have been like 50 shots coming back for every one of his. Can you ever imagine that?
No, more people would have been killed from each other.
Exactly. And then the cops would have been shooting at everybody.
That's right.
And then Black Lives Matter would have been out there. Oh, racial prejudice.
If only.
One, two, three.
Sid on Sports. The new podcast is yours now. Yes! Sid digs into football with Mark Lawrence from USA Today Sports Weekly and Playbook.com to take on the winners and losers of the week's football card. It's exclusive. Subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode. Or listen on the podcast page at WABCRadio.com.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader,
attorney, radio, talk show host,
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make band-aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of one, we're full blown into the NFL season now. Ebony K. Williams, she's away today, ironically, in Las Vegas. And instead, we have Larry Menti here. You've heard him many times before at WABC, substituting. And he has his own show Saturday nights right here at WABC from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning, in which he discusses international, national, regional, and local news, giving you the commentary, social, cultural, the whole nine yards. And as we're high atop Madison Square Garden here and the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com, the stats are in, Larry, and so far in the first few games, including last night's Thursday night epic between the Brady Bunch and Coach Belichick and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, apparently 30% of diehard NFL fans, couch potatoes, are watching far less of the NFL, and they give two reasons. 52% said it was because they disagree with the protest, the kneeling, the sitting, staying in the clubhouse, holding a jock strap, holding a shoulder, holding hands, locking arms. And the other 6% said they were boycotting games in solidarity with kneeling players. And this was similar to what Dominic Carter had told us just this past week, when he showed up at a party predominantly of African-Americans wearing a throwback Joe Namath New York Jets jersey.
This is before all of the kneeling stuff. I went to a party with my son before going to a Jets game preseason. And quite a few people of color, other races as well. I had on the Jets jersey. And the black people that were there, they gave me an awful time.
Why?
And this is why ratings are down. Several of them just walked up to me and they said, how dare you wear that NFL jersey? Blackout. And I was like, what? And they were like, you're supposed to know. You're in the media. Colin Kaepernick, what they did to him, blackout.
So I would assume that 6% supporting the boycotters are blacks. And the 52% who say they're watching far less is probably predominantly the white audience. But, boy, that's a sizable number there.
It is, and it's of concern. Attendance is also down. I was watching the game a couple of weeks ago, and I tweeted out something about the game, some big hit or something. And all of these people responded to me, I've stopped watching the NFL. I'm surprised you're watching the NFL. And that became the discussion. So there really is a number of people out there that have stopped watching specifically because of this current controversy. However, the attendance and the ratings have been going down for the last few years. They've had a series. This isn't the only one. They've had bad news ever since Ray Rice hit his fiance in front of a camera in an elevator in Atlantic City. They had a domestic violence problem. Then they had a concussion problem that's still around. And I believe this concussion problem is bigger than the kneeling.
Wow. And can you explain that? What ramifications have you seen of the concussion problem?
Yeah, I have it in my own life. The NFL said when they first diagnosed this CTE, this, and I'm going to mess it up, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, I think, but believe it is. Somebody can correct me on that. But that is just your brain's fried from playing too long. The NFL said at that time, and there was a quote of this, that if 10% of the mothers out there are afraid to let their child play football or watch football, we're done. That's already happened. It's much more than that. My child plays football.
He does.
Yeah, he's in fifth grade, so which is young. Yeah. I'm being treated like I'm a pedophile. Hmm. I mean, you get shamed for that. Football programs, in the league he was in, there used to be 9 teams. There's now 7 teams. Two of the schools could not get enough kids to play because their moms won't let them play. If this continues, that's bad for the NFL, worse than any of this.
So you say you're made to feel like a pedophile. You mean in supporting your son's ability to play football?
Yes, in allowing my son to play football because people are saying, oh, my God. I shouldn't say pedophile. I feel like a child abuse. Child abuse by allowing them to play.
Well, you know, it's similar because I am pro-American smash mouth football. I hate that fake, phony, fraudulent football they spell with a U. Go, 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 soccer. So I had asked the mothers of my 3 sons. I said, you're going to let them play American football. So the mother of Anthony, my oldest, 13, who likes watching the game, she said, absolutely not, under no circumstance. You know, you only have visitation, so shut out. Then my 2 youngest sons, Carter and Hunter, I had the conversation with their mother. I said, especially Hunter. He's like a little bully ball. He's a bowling ball. He loves crashing into people. You know, he'd be a great fullback. She said, fullback? Oh, no, no, no. He's playing basketball. He's playing baseball. He is never going to be playing football. Maybe touch football, flag football, but not tackle football. And I said, how are we going to beat ISIS if we have a generation of Americans who are not going to play good old-fashioned American smash-mouth football? Now, as a fifth grader, in watching the games, do you detect that there is just too much collision going on?
No, no, not at all. Look, concussions are caused by force. Force equals mass times speed. Mm-hmm. At that age, they have neither. Mm-hmm. They're playing patty cake for the most part. They're just bumping into each other.
And falling down.
Yeah. Maybe another decision by the time they get to high school. But as you know, I research everything. So I've researched this. Many of the studies have been done on donated brains by people where they suspected there was a problem already.
Yeah.
So that's flawed. All that research is flawed. There are concussions in soccer. There are concussions on playgrounds because of monkey bars. There's concussions because of wrestling. There are concussions because of competitive cheerleading. Do I wrap my kids in bubble wrap and say you can't go outside?
Hmm. And your wife?
Wow. She's all for it, too. He's got a passion for it. Hmm. He's very good. And the pediatrician says minimum he's going to be 6'5".
I mean, I watch the kids sometimes. I'll stop peewee football. You know, they look like little bobblehead dolls because the helmets are always too big, shoulder bags too big. And, they're struggling to run, and they're falling down half the time without anybody hitting them. And I'm saying, and I remember when I was a kid, and I don't ever remember. High school, yeah, that's when they start, you start cracking heads, helmets, crackbacks, all those things that start occurring, and you start feeling pains and strains. But I don't remember junior high school or elementary school. I don't remember the violence that they seem to attribute to the game when young people were playing it.
Yeah, it's just not there. And they have rules in place to make sure they don't hit too hard, just like they have rules in the NFL now. They're coming out with new helmets. And there's this whole heads-up tackling program where you don't put your head down to tackle. And the NFL is extremely concerned about this. The NFL is putting a lot of money into it. Here's the thing, the bottom line, though, in everything we're talking about, it's not the ratings that are going to be the problem. It's not the attendance is going to be the problem. Revenues are going up, and until revenues go down, nothing's going to happen.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Bill, first up in the queue from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here today at WABC. Billy?
Curtis, thank you again as always, and Larry, thank you very much for being on the show today. I, for one, along with my brother-in-law, Craig, we are boycotting football, which we have watched for the last 50 years, 55 years, diehard football players, but we are boycotting. The jerseys are coming off, the football flags are coming down off the house. And, you know, the bottom line is our fathers were in World War II. They marched on to Normandy Beach, and many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people died for what that flag stands for. So I just find it totally disrespectful to not respect the American flag. It just stands
now, now,
so
Bill,
much.
Bill, with so much time that you and your brother used in consuming football, what have you done to fill your lineup card? Instead of watching football, what do you do instead?
Well, because the weather is still nice, I go out in my kayak on a nice lake. And many people, rather than sitting around guzzling beer and eating chips and watching a game, go out and get some exercise.
Well, well you see, Bill, it's one of the benefits of global warming, climate change, right?
Yeah.
I love this, though. Bill, that was extremely well said, by the way. And you're expressing your freedom of speech and your freedom of choice by not watching. I love that. You know what's interesting? I was talking to a high school coach. He says their attendance is way up. People aren't watching the NFL games, and they're going to watch college games, and they're going to watch high school games.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Rich, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Richie Rich.
Hey, guys. One of the things that I've had, both my sons have been into sports, and I got them into basketball rather than football because I didn't want to risk them getting any kind of a debilitating injury. But when it comes down to the NFL, it has absolutely nothing to do with that, with locking arms or standing or sitting or for the Pledge of Allegiance, the National Anthem, or any of that crap. This whole thing is a straw man for Trump just to change the subject because he's got these investigators on his up his behind, and all this other stuff is just pure nonsense. Fact of the matter is, the NFL is a great football to watch, but I don't want my kids to participate in it.
So yeah, he's on to something.
What do you have your kids play instead, Rich?
Yeah.
What do they play instead? Instead of playing football, what do your kids play?
They play basketball.
Oh, well, I got to tell you a story, Larry. So the mother of my two youngest sons is promoting her kids to play basketball, right? Or my sons. And I wanted them to play football. So she said, no, go out and get them a hoop they can put in the backyard. So I get this hoop. They put it up. They're playing basketball morning, noon, and night. And now the neighbors, you know, are making all kinds of threats because naturally it's noisy, it's loud. And so when I do my visitation, who do the neighbors take it out on? Me. Why did you put up that basketball hoop? I said, because the mother asked me to. It is their backyard, right? Yeah. Why can't they go to the schoolyard? Why can't they go out into the street? I said, you can't be playing basketball out in the street. They don't permit you to do that anymore. It's not like when I was a kid, you hang a hoop right up on the telephone pole, and you'd be playing until it was dark out.
You should give them a new activity. Like a rock band.
Well, actually,
you can do a garage band.
I had an activity, but it got me into trouble with their mother. I used to have them dodge cars, you know, cars coming up and down the block. It's, hey, play it. Don't let the car hit you. You've developed hand-eye coordination. It's good for you.
That's a competitive sport these days, isn't it? Yeah, I've seen it happen on the streets.
I got into a lot of trouble for that, that's for sure. Let's go to John, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. John?
Hey there, guys. Listen, the caller Phil before was correct and wrong all at the same time about the respect for the flag and the Normandy deal. You know, my father-in-law was there on June 6th, but so were African-Americans. And African-Americans also showed up in the Battle of the Bulge as combat soldiers. Those same combat soldiers, when they came home to Alabama, couldn't go to the best restaurant in town and eat at the front table or have a drink at the bar with any white guy, any white soldier, buddy of theirs from the Army. This whole thing, as Caucasians, we expect black guys to demonstrate the way we want them to demonstrate. The hell with us.
No, I want Americans to behave a certain way. That's it. I'm black or white.
Yes, but what I'm saying is there is just because we as viewers have decided that that is somehow disrespecting the flag.
Wait, as Caucasian viewers. No, you've already separated us. You've already put us into two teams. And you're saying that because we're Caucasian, we shouldn't feel a certain way because we don't understand what black Americans are going through, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, all that we didn't show up to back them up back in the 1940s and the 50s.
Okay, but that's the 1940s and 50s. Nowadays, when these millionaire ball players walk into a restaurant, who gets treated first? They do. Oh, you know who that is? That's our halfback, right? Give him the best table here. Make sure. That always happens. So to be protesting about past indiscretions. Wow, you'd be spending your whole life protesting.
Or because of something you've seen on the news and you believe is the law of the land. It's
now,
really not.
I got to ask you a question because I know you're a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Yes, right? Don't say that out loud on a New York television station. That's like saying I belong to ISIS.
Half of New Jersey is Philadelphia Eagle fans. You know,
the southern
south
half.
Of Trenton, right, south yeah. of Trenton. But when Odell Beckham scored that touchdown, that first touchdown against the Eagles, and lifted his leg as if he was peeing like a dog in the end zone, did that have any political implications? He still hasn't answered that question.
No, that was about Philadelphia, I think. That was more about Philadelphia, and it was more about Odell Beckham. And I don't know if you heard the coach from the Eagles say they're going to remember that. So it's going to be fun when Odell Beckham plays the Eagles again, because they're going to play again.
So they're going to try to break his leg.
Something's going to happen to him.
You know something? I might actually side with the Philadelphia Eagles. I hate Odell Beckham. 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them. On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
I notice Larry Menti. That this protest syndrome, I'll call it protest syndrome, has not hit the collegiate ranks. I haven't detected a major football program.
There's been a couple of cases, and there's been a case in high school, a couple of cases, but nothing like the NFL, you're right.
Anyway, to the phones we go. It's Michael in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Mike?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Hey, my point is, I think that issue that they're trying to bring forth with the exhibition at the NFL games by the players is one form of symbolism from the flag, and the washed up white folks are just using the flag to hide behind a case of racism against the blacks because they're pissed off at the blacks have made it off the gerbil wheel that they finally got up and out and they're making some money and they're symbolizing a how blacks can make it in America.
Yeah, yeah, but wait a second. If that
I have no idea what he's saying.
But if that were their opinion towards the black players on their team, why do they cheer extensively when they score touchdowns or they dramatically, you know, bring snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat? That doesn't make sense. If they're racist, they're going to be racist all the time.
That's the part of it that didn't make sense to you. I was the washed up white people on the gerbil wheel threw me. I have no idea what that was about.
That's incredible. And then there's just the sheer price. If you want to actually go to a game, you got to take a reverse mortgage.
No, it's gotten ridiculous in all sports. It's not just football, in all sports. And what's pushed that are the new stadiums and the corporate money that's come
so
in
when
and
you,
the luxury boxes.
When you were a little whippersnapper in Philadelphia where the fans threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
Oh, my God.
At the old
that happened 5 decades ago.
Ben Franklin Stadium there. What are they charging you, 50 cents to be up in the rafters there where you needed an oxygen mask?
It was a drunk Santa. It was an awful Santa. He deserved to be pelted.
They threw snowballs at Santa Claus, Ken Duffy. What kind of animals are these Philadelphia Eagle fans?
Big time.
Oh, God.
He got a concussion.
Oh, no. Anyway, up next, we got to talk Harvey Weinstein. Boy, and he's suing the New York Times over this expose. And his attorney is Lisa Bloom, who always seems to represent the women who have been victims of these kinds of ogres. Oh, a lot to break down, but first let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
Up on the line, the law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Freaky Dinky in Hollywood, the Jet Setters, Freakazoid, Trendoids, and the King of Hollywood, particularly if you wanted to one day earn a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. A guy could certainly help you get there, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, you're not overstating that at all, by the way. He was the king.
Absolutely.
Miramax movies. He could take a low-budget movie, an independent movie, and because he got behind it and backed it, he could elevate it. Although I will tell you, the most recently I saw him, he had elevated that Ray Kroc movie that went nowhere.
Well, he's had some duds, but he also...
And I sat with him, and he said to me, I know you were a McDonald's guy, Curtis. Yeah, that's how where you made your bones up in the Bronx, but I have a feeling this movie ain't going nowhere after tonight. And it really didn't. Although I liked the movie. Most people didn't. But there's no doubt he had the touch, the touch. And as a result, he made a lot of people a lot of money, and he developed a lot of stars and starlets. But who knew that this guy was such a sleazoid? You pointed out, in fact, that Seth MacFarlane, the guy who created Family Guy, was joking about this in 2013 publicly.
Congratulations, you five ladies no longer have to pretend to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein.
Listen to the crowd. They don't know how to react. And Emma Stone was standing next to him, and she was stone-faced. She was not going to laugh at that because your career could be threatened.
So he was perving on these many women, not all of them hoping to be starlets, some of them who were just workers from Miramax or were helping him with his chores or whatever his responsibilities were. Did you know of these kinds of allegations years ago?
I was the host of Access Hollywood in 1997. Hmm. In 1997 and 1998, and there were rumors back then. This really accelerated in 2015, though, when an executive producer at Miramax put out a memo listing many of the indiscretions. And that's what the New York Times got a hold of, and that's why you have what's going on right now. But of the whole thing, here's what upsets me the most. Look, there's been a casting couch in Hollywood for a long time, and he's not the first, but times have changed, and he didn't change.
Well, they had a casting couch at Uber recently. Yes. Remember, that's why the CEO had to go.
Yeah, so this is nothing new. It's right. Just that we've entered a new age. But how about the fact that Harvey Weinstein yesterday, in trying to deflect, said, I'm going to do an anti-Trump documentary. I'm going to spend all my money, and I'm a rich guy, and I'm going to do this, thinking that Hollywood is so anti-Trump, they'd go, oh, he's anti-Trump, let's forgive him. Don't you believe that's what he was doing?
Yeah, and then he wants to sue the old gray lady in the New York Times, I think, for $50 million. His attorney is, and you talk about hypocrisy, Lisa Bloom, who is Gloria Aldridge's daughter. So they were like a tag team. Whenever women would have an allegation that they were sexually harassed, sexually abused, we saw it during the Trump campaign. We saw it during the many situations at the Fox News channel. It would either be Gloria Allred or her daughter, Lisa Bloom, in defense of the victims of sexual predators. You have to wonder, Lisa Bloom is now defending Harvey Weinstein, who has pretty much acknowledged that he did some of these things. His beef with the New York Times is, but we had an agreement that if someone made an allegation, I would be able to respond. I never heard of anything like that before.
No, that's ridiculous. That lawsuit isn't going anywhere. Let's get back to Lisa Bloom for a second. She is so hypocritical in this whole thing. She has a deal with Harvey Weinstein right now. He has optioned her book for a movie. So, yeah, that and also, but think of the brilliance of it. Because if you get Lisa Bloom, all the women that come forward, they will not be represented by Gloria Allred, so they will not get the media attention. So there is some maniacal brilliance to what he's doing right now. And it's hard to believe that a guy that you just said rightly is king of Hollywood is going to be dethroned. But it's looking bad because, look, there's eight women so far. There's many more coming forward.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned 2015 because in 2015, an allegation was brought to Cyrus White Shoes Vance, the Manhattan District Attorney for life if he wants, because nobody ever runs against him. And at the time, Weinstein was being represented by David Boies. You remember him, 2000, the locked up presidential election. He was representing Team Gore before the United States Supreme Court. They lost, and Bush 43-1. But all of a sudden, David Boies donated $10,000 to Cyrus Vance's reelection campaign, which he had no adversaries. He was unopposed. And all of a sudden, that sexual assault charge was dropped. And there's a pattern here because yesterday the big story is that 5 years ago, his investigators were ready to indict Ivanka Trump, daughter of Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr., for a real estate deal in which they were pulling the wool over investors' eyes. His investigators have said, look, we got more than enough ability here to indict. He chose not to. And this was after the attorney, still attorney for Donald Trump, Kozowitz, donated $35,000 to Cyrus White Shoes Vance. And you begin to scratch your head and said, what is this, pay for play with the Manhattan District Attorney's Office? And what does he do with all these contributions since nobody is ever opposing him for re-election?
Yeah, a lot of politicians do that, but they don't do what you said before that because it's so easy to trace the money. And that's why he gave recently, what, 2 days ago?
Yes.
He gave the money back to the Trump's attorney.
Right. This is what he received 5 years ago.
Isn't that an admission of guilt?
You would think so. And you would think, where's the U.S. attorney for the Southern District to investigate the Manhattan District Attorney's Office or even the Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who loves to go after Trump and the Russian conspiracies, you know, collusion. But you would think this would be prime time for the Attorney General of the state of New York. But remember, it's a fellow Democrat, so that's not going to happen. And then remember, there's the case of the pedophile island man, Epstein. Epstein, who would have been a sex offender, tier three, which is the most serious.
Right.
He came before Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance. All of the investigators say, oh, this guy is a predicate pedophile offender. He's got to be tier three if he's going to live in New York State. And all of a sudden, Cyrus Vance said, nah, I don't think so.
And the connection on that one is Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton was good friends with Epstein, used to fly the Lolita Express down to Orgy Island, went around the world, as we read about in Game Change on Air F1, but it wasn't Force, it was another F word, and picked up young girls. And it was Bill Clinton that got a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation to put the pressure on Cyrus Vance, allegedly.
By the way, when the U.S. Virgin Islands got walloped by Hurricane Maria, we didn't find out what happened at Pedophile Island, which is right off the U.S. Virgin Islands, did we? 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Paul, who's calling from Breezy Point. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here on WABC, Paul.
Hi, Larry, a big fan.
Oh, thank
anyway,
you, Paul.
Curtis, too. I want to make a comment. One, I think Weinstein will walk because there's a couple different reasons why. The guy knows how to make money for his business associates. Okay, two, he ends up doing all these independent type of films that make a lot of money because nobody else wants to do it. And three, because he's a Jew, and Hollywood is run by Jews, gay Jews now, they'll walk, they'll look the other way, and they'll basically pat him on the back. As long as he can make money, he's a cash cow, he can go raping midgets, and they don't care.
Hold on a second, Paul. If we were to apply that to Bill O'Reilly and the settlements that were made by Fox News Channel on his behalf and Roger Ailes, both of them got whacked. But you're mysteriously predicting that somehow Weinstein's going to...
Jewish.
Oh, well, so it's
Jewish.
A Jewish cabal, a Jewish conspiracy. Are you out of your freaking mind now? Now that it's on the front page of the Jew Times, because that's probably what you would call it, since they're owned by Jews. So it's Jewish publishers who have published these damaging allegations. So you don't know what the hell you're talking about, Paul. Incredible.
Yeah, and I think these days, women trump Jews. So it's a new time in this world. I don't
think
you can escape this.
He's going away to therapy. You know, it's something that actually Anthony the Weiner Wiener should have done right away, because you want to show that you're trying to deal with your problem. His brother, obviously, is a co-partner with him in Miramax, and they have board of directors. So the business will go on, but I have a feeling we will never see Harvey Weinstein
again. And here's the reason, because there's going to be a Bill Cosby effect. You have eight women right now.
Mm.
You've got a lot of actresses out there that would love publicity. And if they had any interaction with Harvey Weinstein, they're coming forward. I will guarantee you in the next 2 weeks, the number goes up to at least 20.
And look, in these cases, you had Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly on the right, Harvey Weinstein on the left. This is not a political situation. This is simply guys who can't control themselves. And they're in such powerful positions that they start preying on woman after woman after woman. And because they can get away with it for so long, I guess they figure after a while they have a license to it, until all of a sudden they run into a lawsuit and they settle. Why do you settle if you're not guilty?
No, I get that. But this guy's worse. Weinstein's worse than Bill O'Reilly. I don't know what Bill O'Reilly did, but Weinstein promised these women something.
Mm.
He had these young actresses and young executives or people that were working as an assistant at Miramax come into his hotel room, and that was his mode of operandi, by the way. He loved to go to luxury hotels and have these women come there, and then he offered them massages or he wanted them to see him naked. Well, who would want to see now, Harvey Weinstein naked in the shower?
Isn't it amazing that Ailes didn't escape it, neither did O'Reilly, Weinstein won't, but Trump did. Some of the same allegations were made against Trump. Some of the same allegations, but nobody could come up with any proof. Nobody could come up with any women who would actually come forward and testify where there was coordination and cooperation from others to suggest, yeah, that did happen.
Well, you answer your own question. If there's no evidence and there's no proof, then there's no case, right? That's the way the justice system works.
Oh, the justice system, right.
Yeah.
But in the court of public opinion.
I'm not sure they ever had anything. I mean, even when the New York Times did that big expose, they had nothing. There was nothing there.
Oh, no, I understand. And that's how Trump was able to escape what would have normally been very damaging.
You're assuming there's something there and there's not.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't know that there's not or there is, but without proof or without evidence, he's not guilty.
No, I understand. But I personally am not sure that he was like a baby's backside, free of all those accusations.
Yeah. Are any of us like a baby's backside? I mean, look, he's been around beautiful women all his life. He is a multi-billionaire. Of course he's had indiscretions. I would be surprised if he didn't. Do they rise to this level where he was saying to people, I can make you a star if you look at me naked in the shower or if you have sex with me or if I'm allowed to grope your breast? I don't think so.
Who would want to look at Harvey Weinstein in the shower stall? God, you'd want to projectile vomit.
That's the question of the
1-800-848-WABC. More power to any woman who could actually get through that ordeal. Imagine looking at Harvey Weinstein lather himself up in the shower stall. Not necessarily the most attractive guy in the world.
Here's the question. How many women actually did that to advance their careers?
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And Larry, up next, we got to talk about the president punting once again to Congress as he did with DACA. He's now doing that with the Iranian deal about their nuclear weapons development. And then Equifax, who has probably lost everyone's personal information in the world by now to hackers, was awarded a no-bid contract yesterday by the IRS, no-bid contract, while their former president, who had resigned, was being sweated up on the Hill, as congressmen and congresswomen were saying, how could this have happened? And also, how is it that you and the others cashed in your stocks when nobody knew about the invasion of people's personal information so that you could cash out before the bad news came? And he was like, what a mess.
You know who's happy about this? All the international hackers. Because now Equifax will have all of our personal information, and they'll be able to get a hold of that now.
Imagine you get rewarded. You know, this is like what? The Murphy Syndrome. You get kicked upstairs. You do a lousy job. You get a promotion. Now you get to handle all the IRS records of our personal information after giving away everyone's information to hackers. Oofa.
Bring the noise.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio talk show host.
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions. I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up.
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show, 77 WABC.
Bomb, 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 I ran. Bomb, 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 I ran.
Seven minutes after the hour or two, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com. Ebony Kardashian Williams away today, ironically, in Las Vegas, where she's doing a book signing of a brand new book and hosting a panel discussion. She'll be back on Monday. In fact, she'll be hosting from 12 to 3 solo because I will be in the annual Christopher Columbus Day Parade as an oofa to Comrade Bill de Blasio, your mayor, not mine, because I didn't vote for him and won't vote for him again. And I'll be marching with the Reform Party candidate for mayor, Sal Albanese, who, ironically, Larry Menti, is the only immigrant running for mayor. He's from Calabria in Italy, and he came over on the SS Christopher Columbus. I am the New York State Reform Party chairman, so I'll be walking with him. And then I'll be able to come back on the drive home at 5 Monday and explain to people how many boos there were towards de Blasio as he walks up Fifth Avenue, whether it's raining or it's not raining, because I would expect all Italo-Americans out there to give this guy the Bronx cheer.
I know we're going to talk about Iran, but yes, since you brought this up, how does this guy win easily when there's so many problems in the city? Because you're the king of New York, so I defer to you on this. How does he win so easily, or is he expected to win so easily?
Well, his main competition, Nicole Malliotakis, is not ready for prime time, the Republican conservative candidate. She has fallen repeatedly in just not being able to answer questions, not being up on the issues. Then there's Bo Dietl, and you know Bo Dietl is a caricature. Right. And then there's Sal Albanese, who's had a few go-rounds with de Blasio. He's done quite well, but doesn't have the money. And with de Blasio, he's gotten so many friends that he's taken care of. He's raised the money that he needs. And some people are just satisfied with the way things are. They know they love de Blasio. There's quite a few people who don't like him. But there are enough people who have been sweetened up, particularly the union people, because they've gotten great contracts, that they're going to turn out in force and unfortunately probably reelect this guy, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope.
But his approval rating's high too, right? His approval rating's about 60%?
No, not 60%. It's about 48%, and there's like 48% who think he's not doing a good job. But got to tell you, normally it's the Republican candidate. You know, it's like when you had Giuliani and Dinkins. You had a strong Republican candidate. Nicole Malliotakis, nobody knows her. And quite frankly, she hasn't done anything in this campaign that would be noteworthy, except a number of faux pas. Like, for instance,
and that's the problem with this mayor, is he's quick to send off a press release, and now you have even Christopher Columbus, the founder of our nation, is under attack.
So when you describe Christopher Columbus as being the founder of our nation, time to hit night school, I don't know, summer school.
I get it. It's just that you would think that there would be a hue and cry, that there would be people that would rise up.
And also,
because all I see is problems. All I hear about is problems.
Also, de Blasio has a brilliant reelection strategy. He's going to label Bo Dietl as Donald Trump, because Bo Dietl was a big Trump supporter. And he's going to label Nicole Malliotakis as Trump light. So he's going to run against them as Trump. And you know how Trump is hated in New York City other than out in Staten Island. And you can't win a citywide election with just Staten Island alone.
Yeah, I get
it. Only 500,000 people there.
It's perplexing when you're not in New York. It's perplexing when you're out of New York and you hear about all the problems and you hear about the corruption and then you see this guy's going to be reelected easy.
Yeah, it looks like a slam dunk. And let me tell you something. I feel like impaling myself. 1-800-848-WABC. But on the matter of Iran, the president of the United States had this to say about Iran and nukes.
We must not allow Iran to obtain nuclear weapons. The Iranian regime supports terrorism and exports violence, bloodshed, and chaos across the Middle East. That is why we must put an end to Iran's continued aggression and nuclear ambitions.
And so what he did yesterday was decertify the agreement. It allows him just to punt it to Congress and say, okay, you guys deal with it, like he did with DACA, punting it to Congress. But then he said something as he was dining with the generals, the admirals, and his commanders with their wives at the White House that threw a lot of people for a loop. And you tell me what you think the significance is of this statement.
Do you guys know what this represents?
Well,
maybe it's the calm before the storm.
What's the storm?
It could be the calm before the storm.
What storm, Mr.
We
President?
We have the world's great military people in this room. I will tell you that. And we're going to have a great evening. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
What store, Mr. President?
They keep asking. It's whatever they were just talking about. That's the way Trump works. So whether it was North Korea or Iran, it was whatever they were just talking about.
So it wasn't the new hurricane that's going to hit the Gulf, right?
No, I don't think so. I believe it.
Nate.
He had all the military
guys
there. He had all the military people there. That's what he was talking about.
But that's almost like the promo you would do for a reality show to watch next week.
Well, yes, that's who it is. That's who he is. What I've always been fascinated with Donald Trump are his supporters. And I was not one until the very end when he was campaigning. The Trump-splaining that goes on where you try to get rational thought and apply it to his tweets or what he says or what he does. And so let me try right here with this Iran thing. I believe what he wants is to renegotiate this deal. And so this is the first step in doing this. But he has to have the Republicans in Congress go along with him. I don't think they're going to be there. And he also has to have Britain and Germany and France, who co-signed this deal, go along with him. I don't think he's going to go there. But he's not wrong. This may be the worst deal in U.S. history, in world history.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to the phones. It's Peter first up in the queue from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here on WABC, Peter.
Hi. That Iran nuclear deal is the best resolution to the problem. The only group in America that opposes this Iran nuclear deal are right-wing neo-conservative Jews. And the fact of the matter is...
What are the Jews? I'm not for the deal. I'm not Jewish. What is it with everything is the Jews are against this?
Well,
I don't get that.
There are some Jews who are opposed to it.
Their supporters are Bibi.
But there are just as many Jews who are not Bibi supporters who want the deal to go through.
No, I get it.
And the fact is that how do you break a deal for a nation that could then go back to being rogue and just do what North Korea is doing and say, F you, we're developing our nuclear weapons?
Here's the best part of that deal, and it's one of the most controversial things. We did give them $400 million in the middle of the night, and then we unfroze $100 billion that they're allowed to have. And everybody's upset about that.
That was their money originally.
Yeah, right? That's their money originally. And in return for that, we got their enriched uranium and their centrifuges. That's a pretty good deal. End of deal. We don't need to do anything else. But what we've allowed them to do is to support other rogue nations and terrorists, and there is no discipline for that. There's nothing in the deal that says we can break the deal because of that. We don't get to inspect their facilities, and we know they lie. They can make ICBM missiles right now, which they're doing right now, and we can't stop that.
So, well, the problem I have here, Larry, is that as much as we demean Iran, we claim that they are the largest exporter of terrorism in the world. We worked directly with them. We've worked with them in Iraq when we did the attack on Mosul. There were Iranian regulars there who were assisting the Shiites of Iraq in overcoming ISIS. We work with them, even though not directly, in Syria now, in battling ISIS. So it's if they're such terrible people, why are we working in cooperation with them to eliminate ISIS?
Because foreign affairs is not easy. It's a complicated mess. It's a web. And the enemy of your enemy is your friend. One last thing that I want to add to why this is such an awful deal. And the biggest thing, they get to have a nuclear weapons program in 10 years. They get to start building it, and they're allowed to have one in 14 years. So this doesn't end anything.
But, you know, if you're a rogue nation, like Gaddafi was a rogue nation,
right?
And you gave up your nukes, and then the next thing, some guy with a Yankee cap is putting a barrel of a .22 up your anal canal and shooting you into the land hereafter because Hillary Rodham Clinton is, like, coming after you. You think you hesitate giving up your nukes after that?
I get it. I understand. I completely understand. But if we can prevent them from getting it when they are a devout enemy of ours, except for the couple of instances when you talked about, and an enemy of our allies, you do it. You don't say, okay, go ahead, you can have it.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Daniel in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC. Daniel?
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are, Danny.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that this is all a bunch of fear-mongering and misplaced rhetoric. If it wasn't for Iran, Sunni extremist groups like ISIS would have taken over the capitals of three major Arab countries. That's Baghdad, Damascus, and Beirut. And it's our allies, Saudi Arabia, that is funding the most extremist groups in the Middle East, groups that hate us, that want to kill us. It's our other ally, Israel, that also supports these groups in Syria. And I think it's foolish for us to get in the face of another Middle Eastern country that is fighting the same people we're fighting. You know, it wasn't Shiite Muslims that flew the planes into the World Trade Center. It was people supported by Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and in fact, we've seen enough of the reports tracing the lines of support from the House of Fraud, the princes with the fake, phony, fraudulent mustaches who were directly supporting the co-conspirators on 9/11 of Osama bin Laden. They have supported not only al-Qaeda, they have supported ISIS. But we continue to harp on Iran. I'm not saying Iran is a great country, but it's sort of like, are they the biggest exporters of terrorism? To me, it's the Saudis. It's the Gulf Kingdoms who constantly are supporting madrasas throughout the world who preach hate for Western values and hate of America.
Some people in the royal family do that. I don't think the Saudi government does that, and there's been no proof of that. And I do think Iran is one of the greatest exports of terrorism in the world. And if we can stop them from getting nuclear weapons, we should do that. I also think, you know, everybody talks about Saudi Arabia. It's all deflections and what they've done for us in Iraq, what they did for us here, the fact that they took on ISIS. That's great. That's all fine. That has nothing to do with this deal. That has nothing to do with what's written in that pact.
But if you look at North Korea, and if they were to follow the track of North Korea, if we cut all ties with Iran and we say, okay, we're back to square one, there's no deal here, they will end up with a nuclear weapon. And then what do we do?
They're going to end up with a nuclear weapon anyway.
All right, but
then
you,
what do we do?
All right, but you said that may be 10 years in the offing, right?
Well, they don't have centrifuges and they don't
right.
have enriched uranium. We
right.
bought that from them. That was the part of the deal. We can stop them from building nuclear weapons. I say that, but then I look at North Korea and we weren't able to stop them. We have more influence in Iran than we do in North Korea.
Ladies and gentlemen, who's more of a threat to us at this point, North Korea or the Ayatollahs in Tehran and Iran? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Imus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
It's really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Ebony K. Williams, she'll be back on Monday. She's in, of all places, Las Vegas today. So we got Larry Menti in the house. You can hear him every Saturday night here. He's got his own show from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning. And obviously, he is co-hosted here on many, many other occasions and substituted here. Let's go to Don, first up in the queue, calling from Jackson. Welcome to WABC. Don?
Thank you, Curtis. If we look at how the North Koreans and the Iranians have behaved, and the fact that their missile systems, as far as their medium-range and ICBM prototypes, are almost identical, don't you think that that same kind of information sharing is going on as far as the North Korean experience with nuclear weapons and what Iran is attempting to, over time, get?
Don, that's fascinating. I have never thought of that, but we do know that Iran funds North Korea, and it makes absolute sense that they would build a nuclear weapon program in North Korea in conjunction with North Korea, and then when the 10 years are up, they'll be ready to roll, and they'll still be compliant with the deal.
That's exactly what's going on, because that's exactly how Pakistan developed their nuclear weapon 20 years ago. That was directly related to the program that was occurring simultaneously in North Korea.
Right, but it was the infamous Dr. Khan in Pakistan who was selling his abilities to develop nuclear weapons to all kinds of rogue nations, and with the support of the Pakistani administration at that time, although naturally they were lying to us that they weren't doing it. And it was interesting because remember there was that time Bashar Assad was trying to develop his own nuclear weapons program and the North Koreans were helping him. And the Israelis found the location. They bombed it. Bashar Assad didn't complain, didn't say anything, because they had the goods on him. So unlike, remember, Saddam Hussein, who was developing his own nuclear weapons program, when Menachem Begin was the prime minister of Israel and said, oh, Reagan, you're not going to do anything? We're taking him out. They did. Saddam Hussein went crazy. The world universally condemned Menachem Begin. But it was the best thing that ever happened, because could you have imagined if Saddam Hussein had developed nuclear weapons?
Right, I get it. But think about what you just said about North Korea and Assad. There's precedent for this. That this would make complete sense. I don't know why. Don was brilliant in calling and saying that. I'm not sure why we haven't heard even more about that.
Let's go to Sonny, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here on WABC. Sonny.
Good afternoon to you, gentlemen. Curtis, I dearly, sincerely love you. Okay, I met you a few times in the city. As a Persian Jew who came to this country in 1979, this government is about something that is not good. What does it take for our government to realize that they are planning the nuclear bomb? And the people in Iran, maybe over 80% of the population there, they do not want this government. Okay.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We had a chance when they had their internal uprising in the streets in the major cities.
The Green Movement.
To help them. And Barack Obama said ixnay. And as a result, many were captured, killed, horribly raped, and have been put in the gulags forever as a result of that.
Over 80% of the population there, maybe even 90%, they do not want this government. Okay. They want to be just like the Americans. I was there during the Shah. People want the Americans. People want to change. People want to see a change. What does it take for our government, okay, to realize that this government, Iranian government, they're up to something no good?
Now, question, Sonny, since you're a Persian ancestry, a Persian Jew from Iran, if, in fact, the Ayatollahs were toppled, and a new government was brought in, let's say hypothetically a democracy.
Right.
Would all the Persian Jews from Great Neck out of Long Island and North Shore, would they move back in mass to Iran?
I mean, there are some. Believe me. My uncle in Kings Point, okay, has a beautiful house, okay?
But he ain't giving that up.
He's not going back.
I know. They're not going back. No, but there are some in Los Angeles. It's a big Persian community.
Oh, yes.
In Los
Angeles. Yeah, they're not going back either.
That. But it would be interesting if that ever did.
Some who are going to go back.
Right, the younger ones might go back to help, because obviously the country would need a lot of technical expertise, a lot of engineers, just to sort of get back on track. Because with their limitations, the people in many instances in Iran are living in a primitive lifestyle, not in the major cities, but definitely in the countryside.
And there is a big democracy movement that we should tap into. I'm surprised with Trump in office, we haven't tried to tap into that. But we had our opportunity, exactly what you talked about a second ago, when that green movement was happening and we saw it splashing onto our TV screens. That was our opportunity and we blew it.
Well, up next, Equifax has lost almost everyone's personal records to hackers, including our own Ken Duffy. Americans don't seem to be getting bent out of shape. So because nobody is raising the roof, the IRS, in their generous way in spending our tax dollars, has hired Equifax to manage all their personal information of us after giving them a no-bid contract while the former CEO was being sweated on the hill for having been giving up so much of our personal information. This is crazy. We'll get into all of that up next, but first, the news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
Up on the law and the law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Money.
As we continue on, Ebony K. Williams back on Monday. She's in Vegas, of all places, today. And we got Larry Menti in the house. And Larry, I would have thought this would have caused a storm of alarm and angst on the part of consumers in America. Equifax, one of the big three firms that keep most of people's credit information for corporations and other entities around the country, had their cybersecurity breached in about June of this past year. They didn't let anybody know what was going on. That apparently hackers were able to get the personal information, including Social Security numbers, of more than 145 million Americans. That's half our population.
And right now, if you know how to go to the deep web where all the evil stuff happens, that information's being sold for $10 to $15 a pop. So if you have decent credit, or if you have an identity that somebody wants to steal to get a job, like somebody that's here illegally, that information, your information right now is being sold.
So right before the summer, they're aware, you know, their internal cybersecurity elements tell them, we've been breached. 145 million Americans have had their Social Security numbers and other personal information taken from our database. Now, they didn't alert anybody in June, except the three top officials, executives in Equifax, cashed in $1.8 million of their company stock, got the cash, didn't disclose anything, and then they decided to unload this information in September.
Because they were concerned there'd be such a public outcry that Equifax would go under, much like AIG did, right? That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
And they want to make their money.
So you would think, now that they're under investigation by the Department of Justice, when did they know it? How were they breached? Why did the executives cash out on their Equifax stock in advance? That the government would have nothing to do with them. You know, they would be persona non grata. Not at all. The IRS, which has had its own massive data breaches in the past decade, has decided that Equifax is actually the only company available anywhere, anytime, any place to be able to scrutinize and secure your personal information, ladies and gentlemen, that are stored by the IRS, that they have given them a no-bid contract to house all of America's personal information that's stored with the IRS. And you scratch your head and you say, why are we rewarding them for their malfeasance, for their incompetence, for their inability to provide cybersecurity for the information they already had? So now you're going to entrust them with tens of millions of more Americans' personal information, including valued Social Security numbers? This is nuts.
Yeah, the devil's in the details, too. The contract is $7.25 million, and it specifically is to verify taxpayer identities, which means that all the information that the government has about you, Equifax is now going to have on you, the place that just had this major breach, and to help prevent fraud. So the victim of one of the greatest frauds of our time has now been hired by the IRS to prevent fraud.
Love to hear from anybody out there who was informed by Equifax in September that their personal information had been breached and that it was in the hands of hackers, as you call it, in that black hole. What do they call that? They
make the dark web.
The dark web. It was probably being sold as you were being informed if it hadn't already been sold and used. And how come people aren't getting upset about this? This is half the population of America whose personal information has been purloined. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. You know, if somebody did a home invasion and stole some personal information or went through your trash, right? They were going through your trash and they were taking information. You'd call 911. You'd want the cops dealing with it. You'd follow it up, you know, with your local criminal justice system. But you would think there would be more of an outrage.
People don't get upset until something actually happens to them. And the problem here is something could be happening to you right now. My wife went through this.
Ah.
Somebody stole her information and got a job as a janitor in Texas and was using her Social Security number.
So was it another woman who got the information?
No, it was a guy.
And
it was a guy.
Her information.
All he needed was her Social Security number. That's what he was using. And they had to track it down, and the school district fired him. He was in the country illegally. He had to have a Social Security number. He bought this. He ended up buying this for $15. That's what's being sold right now.
Now, we talk so much about going through voter rolls and getting rid of people who shouldn't be on there. Like my mom and dad, they're still on the voting rolls, and they passed away in the last few years. And the other people who are on the voting rolls who shouldn't be there, you know, clean it all up, get it all tightened up. The president wants voting registration, you know, looked at. If you notice, on both sides of the aisle, nobody is suggesting we clean up the mess with the stolen Social Security numbers, which are everywhere.
Because there's no cleaning it up. One of the big problems is it's very difficult to protect people from this or to track it down. Here's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Equifax put up a website and said, hey, if you want to find out if your information was stolen, come to this website. You know what hackers did? They created 40 more websites exactly like it. So people were ripped off again.
So they cloned it.
Going there. They cloned the website so people would show up and be ripped off again. Equifax, to your point, has no idea what they're doing, how to protect this information, and now they have our information from the government and the IRS.
And then there was Google. Google was breached for tens of millions of their accounts. And you would think these are major Fortune 500 companies. Do they have enough cybersecurity on hand? Are they not spending enough? Or is it just that they're not able to prevent the incursions that take place on their databases?
It's the last one. It's almost impossible to protect that information. That's the dirty little secret.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Duke from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here on WABC. Duke.
Hey, Curtis. Larry, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Duke.
I did get a notice from Equifax already, but also, too, I don't know if you guys talked about it or not yet because I just tuned in, but there's also a class action suit that's already been taken by a law firm I don't have in front of me because I'm in my car today. But, I mean, it's just, first of all, the IRS is the most incompetent piece of government that we have. It wastes more money, and I know I've had personal experience on the business and personal side. It's the most moronic group you've ever seen. So maybe it's better to take things out of their hands, but to put them in the hands of people that are even more incompetent is totally ridiculous.
But Equifax, by the way, the chairman of the IRS is John Koskinen, who had several scandals under his watch when he was at the Obama administration, and Donald Trump still has not replaced him, and there is a hue and call for, please replace this guy, and he's just not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, they just totally ignore it. I mean, if we ran a company that way, if you guys had a business and ran it the way they did, you wouldn't last for long. But obviously, you know, there's a black hole on both sides.
Now, Duke, when were you informed that you had been victimized, that Equifax had lost your personal information to these hackers?
About a week and a half ago.
Okay, a week and a half ago.
The only bright side for me is my credit's horrible. So if anybody wants my identity, they can pick it up today. I'll send it to anybody.
But
the thing is, you know, my wife brought up a good point. You know, it's okay for right now, but they can have this information for years. You know, they've got your Social Security number. They got your address. They can, you know, they can take advantage of this 7, 8, 10 years from now.
And sometimes it lays dormant. They don't do anything with it for a long time, and then they hit you with it when you're not expecting it.
Right. So, I mean, you know, it's like a sword hanging over our head forever now for everybody. It's just ridiculous. And to reward these guys with a contract for about $7.5 million.
So they let you know about a week and a half ago. They knew of this breach in June. The three top executives cashed in their stock for $1.8 million because they knew the stock would tank once they had to go public with it. These guys should be in jail.
Well, if they don't go to jail, then there's something really
wrong. Oh, well, remember, the economy collapsed. Remember, Wall Street, nobody went to jail there. They pay fines. They pay. They love that. The Justice Department today secured from Deutsche Bank a fine of $5.4 billion. And everyone's happy, and I'm saying, did anybody from Deutsche Bank go to jail?
No. And that's a drop in the bucket.
Wells Fargo, which had fake accounts.
Right.
Fake accounts, right? Anybody go to jail at Wells Fargo? No. They paid a fine.
And they write that off as COB, the cost of doing business.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Ted calling from Oceanside. Welcome to Curtis and Larry Menti here at WABC, Ted.
You know, as timing would have it, fire trucks are going by. Curtis, give me 1 second and I'll get out of the sound of the sirens. Listen, you and Larry may remember me. I don't know. I was an anchor at CNBC for 20 years. My name is Ted David, and I did business news.
I do remember. Hi, Ted.
Hi. So the point I wanted to make is this. Look, we used to do all kinds of, you know, personal finance shows and have these credit, TransUnion, Equifax, Experian, and so on. The one issue that this raises for me that is most worrisome is that these people have been keeping lousy records forever. When I went to freeze my credit, I pulled up my own credit. They had CNBC written as CM. as in Michael, B.C. They had my social wrong. They had two addresses where I had never lived. The information was patently incorrect. Now, my concern is how many people have gone to buy a car, get a loan, get a mortgage, whatever, and have been turned down or had their FICO score adversely affected because these people were keeping rotten information to begin with.
Right, and people aren't going to realize that that's happening to them until they actually, because nobody checks their credit report anymore. People aren't going to realize that happened until they go to buy something, and then they can't do it.
Exactly, and you know, the other problem is this. In order to get this fixed, when you call up, first of all, you're lucky if you get anyone in this country and or who speaks English properly. And I had to actually, because I had interviewed the CEO, I had a little bit of juice there. I had to go that high up to get this fixed with a couple of these credit reporting agencies. And I'm retired now, but my FICO score is fine. But I was very concerned about the fact that they were inaccurate to begin with. And so this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is a problem that has been ongoing for a very long time with all of them.
Well, Ted, who regulates them? There are three main agencies, Equifax and two others. Who regulates?
Experian and TransUnion,
right,
correct.
Right. Who regulates them to make sure that, in this case, what you're saying, that the information that they're acquiring is real information and not information that has been mangled?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, perhaps Larry knows better, I don't think they answer to anyone. It's not like the FDIC or the Federal Reserve or some governmental agency oversees them. They're publicly traded companies, as you referenced, because they sold their stock. They're publicly traded companies, and I think it's a matter of, you know, the problem is this. We're consumers, and yet we don't have the right to decide if we go to the car dealer and say, look, pull up my credit, but if you would, please, use the Sliwa credit company or the Menti credit company. No, they're going to use the ones that they are accustomed to using. And so we're prisoners.
Hey, Ted, answer Curtis's question in the beginning, because it is perplexing. Why aren't there more people that are outraged? Why aren't there more people interested in this story?
I have no idea. I mean, you know, I wish I was still working, and if I was, I would certainly pitch it to the desk. But, you know, your question is a great question, and the answer, I have no clue. And I don't know, and people should be. And I think perhaps, in addition to being outraged by the fact that we've all been compromised, 145 million people have been compromised, and incidentally, Larry, I think you mentioned it, and it exactly happened to me. I got an email. Have I got a moment? Because this is another interesting scam which listeners should know about. I went online, and of course, people should know, this is standard. If anyone calls you, if anyone emails you, never respond. These places do not come to you. You have to go to them. So if you get an email, as I did, this is after I went on Experian and froze my credit line, I get an email. You recently went online. Now you have to finish the qualification process. And, of course, they wanted the last four of my social and a bunch of other personal information. And I'm supposed to be relatively savvy, and I almost fell for it. But it was a phishing scam. So,
Ted, if you can, is just I'll put you on hold. Stay on the line. Obviously, he has a wealth of information.
No, he's
here.
Great. I remember him. He's
oh, yeah. He was spot on and spot on now, even in retirement. But I'm amazed. This little outrage. If you were to take anything from people, they'd want, you know, if a kid put a gun in the back of your back and stole $20 that you were taking out of the ATM, you want triple life without parole. People steal your personal information by the millions.
They don't understand it. People don't understand what's happened to
until
them.
They get clipped.
Until they go, well, what's going to happen is somebody that had great credit is going to go to buy a car, and they're going to say, no, you have a credit rating of 550. They're going to go, how'd that happen? And then they're going to look and see their credit card was used for this, their information was used for something else to buy a house in Arizona. That's when it's going to happen. People don't understand yet what happened to them.
1-800-848-WABC. Larry Menti, quick question. The holdover of the IRS in charge is an Obama appointee. Why hasn't Trump sacked him?
Oh, everybody's asking that question. From the moment that Trump got in, they said, get rid of this guy. Because remember, with the IRS scandal and going after some of the conservative non-profit, not-for-profits. Everybody asked that question. He should be fired now, well, especially after this.
You can check Larry Menti out Saturday nights from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning. He does the international, national, regional, local stories. It's live and local right here on WABC.
When you choose Hackensack Meridian Health, you've made a great choice. Hackensack University Medical Center has been ranked the number one hospital in New Jersey, and that's for the sixth year in a row, by U.S. News & World Report's Best Regional Hospitals for 2017. It's also nationally ranked in three specialties. In addition, Jersey Shore University Medical Center is ranked number four, and Ocean Medical Center and Riverview Medical Center are tied for number eight, giving them a total of four hospitals in the top 10, and these rankings are a true testament to the high quality services they consistently deliver to the community and to the physicians, nurses, and team members who are dedicated to helping you feel your best. Hackensack Meridian Health, life years ahead. Learn more at hackensackmeridianhealth.org/US News.
Are you a business owner who needs working capital to help grow and support your business? Do you know where the money is going to come from? Have you been turned down from a local bank? If you need working capital and need it now, call Strategic Funding. We provide up to $1 million in alternative financing to retailers, restaurants, hotels, and hundreds of different types of businesses. Unlike getting financing through a bank, our unique financing services are very flexible, with repayment plans customized to meet your needs. Our underwriting is extremely fast, allowing approval in as little as one day. It's totally stress-free. If you've been in business for at least a year, have an annual revenue of $150,000 or more with a minimum credit score of 550, pick up the phone and call now for a free, no-obligation consultation to see what you qualify for.